try you a pitch pipe.
What is up, my pitch pipes? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of Video Game Bang, as seen on Good Day Sacramento.
Your number one podcast for Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. So
all about Game of Thrones and nothing else.
We just gained a second title. We are the number one geek and gaming podcast, and we are now also the number one only Game of Thrones podcast, as told by Tina Makua on Good Day Sacramento. She was with me on that faithful day. And she actually orchestrated the whole thing. Emma Skies, what's up?
Hello.
How did you land us the gig on Good Day Sacramento?
I didn't. Laura did.
L Biggie?
Yep.
L Biggie Smalls.
Because they were contacted first for the spot. They were like, we want Oblivion. We don't know who these people are. We want Oblivion. But yeah, they couldn't do it on short notice, so she gave it to me.
And we showed up in full force. We had two segments within the hour. Oh, actually, three, if you count our stretch.
That was terrible.
The morning stretch.
The morning stretch, a little segment where we all stood up and stretched on television for a few
seconds.
Did
you guys forget
how
to stretch?
I did.
Because I did.
I was trying to think. We had like a good 3 minutes to decide our stretches.
Well, and that was so long. I was like, why is the camera still on us?
I kept doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what Eduardo did when he was like, you could just do this.
Yeah, and then I was like, this is all I know how to do.
Yeah. I was just like, which one?
Should have pulled out some like fucking acrobatics.
I tried stretching my legs and I was like, no, I look stupid. Back to the arms.
I was thinking, which one looks the coolest?
You gotta pull out some yoga poses, like put your leg up.
Yeah, let's see downward dog.
I can do that.
His nickname in high school was the Downward Dog. What's up, David Webb? What's going on?
No, man? It was not. Let's just clarify. No, it was not.
You heard it here first.
No. I don't know how to respond. What's going on?
How did you feel about being on television, man? You're a TV star. And you had, I have to say, you thought ahead and you went and got a haircut like the day before. So you got that fresh fade. And you were turning your head to the side specifically.
Well, that's my good side, too. that's the thing, is I told Bishops in Sacramento that was going on, and they said, we'll give you a free haircut if we can put Bishops in the side of your head. So I had to give them that advertisement right there. No, it was good. I liked it. I once we had been on camera at first, and then we came on for the second segment felt better. Because we knew what we were expecting.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like, you know, doing a podcast is far different from doing the show there. And I was like, they run lean.
Yeah.
It was like three people in this giant warehouse. One dude with the camera, like putting the mics on us.
Yeah.
And then he's doing, you know, everything. And then you had the hosts doing the stuff. And then they had the director who came in in the green room, met us. He heard our voices through, they had us hooked up to wireless microphones while we were in there. Hmm. So he heard our voices and came into the green room. He was like, hey, Video Game Bang, I listen to your guys' show. What are you guys doing here? It was so sick. He's like, where's Curtis? It was like a cool little moment for us to have him just recognize us by the voices.
And then, like they say, like, what's your podcast about? Shit, what's our podcast about? Like, you forget everything when you're on camera.
We had a little blunder, too, in there because, like we said, we don't know them too well or their humor. Or do they take breaks and cut if there's a mistake? Like, they didn't really tell us the rules when we came in. So we're on there, and then we say Video Game Bang. We run through the whole segment, and then we're like, okay, cool, back to you. And the girl at the desk is like, are we just letting them say that name? And she was, like, looking for a response. And you could see the camera was, like, on us still. And our smiles go, huh? What? Oh, did we? Are we doing this again? Like we had no clue.
It was super awkward. We didn't know if the camera was still on us. We didn't know if it was still live. Like somebody mentioned it on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, she said that, and we all just blue screened.
We didn't know what the hell to do. Like I thought we had really done something bad. But then the second time, once we got it, when she asked us the name of the podcast again, I said Video Game Bang, and looked over. Made eye contact with her.
You emphasized the wrong one, though.
Yeah, it's the game.
Bang wasn't the one that was in question. It was game. Video game bang.
Oh.
That was what was in question.
Well, I let her have a piece of my mind. He's joining us because he always wants to give us a piece of his mind.
Sounds.
What little there is.
What's going on, Taylor? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah.
Do you want to start singing?
I don't know. Just like so much. I'm trying to think of when the last time I was on.
Christmas? Christmas party?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I don't remember.
From what I can remember, it was decent.
Yeah, I heard
it was
it
a fire.
Well.
So what's life been like for you?
Great, actually. I sold my business and have a new job, and thank you for repping the hat.
Oh, yeah, man. All day, every day. I'm all about that.
Lightstream.
Lightstream.
Yeah.
No, because you're coming.
Looks at hand.
Looks at hand.
Fight stream? Yes.
What is it? Because you're like in gaming industry fully now, right?
Yeah, I'm back in games.
It was a gaming company.
Yeah, I was a game developer for 10 years, and then I left, and it pulled me back in. So I used to own a analytics platform that tracked the live broadcasters and stuff.
For
so,
Twitch?
Yeah, for Twitch, Mixer, Smashcast, Mobcrush.
That makes you
Facebook,
a ridiculous
YouTube
resource.
Are those all real things?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what did you find in just that specific area? Like, is the viewership on this Twitch thing like a force to be reckoned with? Or
it's so I didn't really care too much about like the global viewership, like how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are like watching at a given time or whatever. I cared more about the individual statistics of like broadcasts and things like that. And there were some really interesting things that like the average viewership on Twitch, it's been a while since I looked, but it was 3.
Like, yeah, that sounds about right.
3 is the average.
For like streamers.
All of Twitch.
If you
yeah.
consider everybody from Ninja yeah. to VGB.
All the way down, yeah. All wow. the way down to VGB.
And that's not taking
VGB's
out.
VGB's doing fine.
And that's not like taking out any outliers or anything.
Right.
Like including the
it's
biggest
the
and
thing.
The small. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the minimum time streamed to get that statistic?
What do you mean?
So do you have. Because you could make an account and, with no intention of streaming. Was that including people who've never gone live?
No. So this is like at a given time on
oh,
Twitch.
Oh, at any
everybody
given time.
Who's currently
yeah, the
live.
The average viewership is 3 per
Whoa.
Channel. It's yeah, super low.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just like weird stuff like that.
That's crazy. And there's a lot of companies that are out like doing this type of thing. But what like made some better than others? And like what was
like broadcasts?
Yeah, like the statistics companies.
Nailed it, first try.
What makes one stats company better than the others? Just coverage and being able to meaningfully display statistics. So a lot of our competitors, they just show the data. They're like, there was a broadcast, this was the average viewers, and this was, you know, whatever. Where, you know, better platforms like ours, they give you meaningful information, like this person streams on average 4 times per week. They tend to stream between these hours of the day, just stuff like that.
And so then cool. is the idea to take those numbers and find trends to make people more streams, or is it just strictly to report?
Kind of both. So we offer for free to any broadcaster that our system picks up. Twitch is a little funky. We only grab broadcasts that have 10 or more viewers, just because there's 30 or 40,000 at any given time. So we offer for broadcasters to go in and look at their own stats for free, and that'll always be free. It's arsenal.gg.
Plug away, man.
And yeah, but then our customers, our paying customers, they use our tools to track the broadcasters they may sponsor or track their broadcast teams and things like that. So,
man, this is crazy. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So the company that you work for now, what are they and what do you do there?
So the company that I work for now is Lightstream. I do the same thing. They bought our company and nothing has changed.
That's
sick.
Just
keeping it moving forward, keep working on it. They believe in what we did and they weren't interested in just taking our technology. So it's been a great relationship, and so I just do the same thing. I still write all of the front end for our analytics platform.
And Lightstream's like nice. It's like a browser based streaming
it is.
Assistant, so it competes with like
OBS. It's like an OBS
yeah.
replacement. So I like the biggest challenge that new broadcasters have is, and you use OBS, I believe,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah, Streamlabs.
It's a pain in the ass to figure it out.
If yes, you don't know a thing or two,
like, yeah.
Yeah,
it takes a while to really get comfortable inside of it. So we kind of take the approach of like, make it simpler, make it easier to get into. So you use Lightstream. It's a web-based configuration for your layout, your overlays, your alerts and stuff, like all your Streamlabs and other alerts.
Before it was like MySpace, dude. You'd have to piecemeal like your stream. You have to go to this website to grab this plugin, this one, and then make it all work together. But
yeah.
now these
okay,
companies...
I have a bunch of different things that are running. I'm running Streamlabs, Stream Elements, regular OBS
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, oh all do different things. So more of these companies are getting big brain and they're starting to put them all together in one spot, and then this
yeah.
one gets rid of the even need to download a program.
Like, absolutely
yeah.
And I think the coolest part about the whole Lightstream technology, other than the just the fact that you can configure your broadcast in the browser, is the Xbox One integration. So if you want to broadcast an Xbox One to Twitch
without
right,
like
with,
straight
with
right?
overlays and all of that stuff, like that good production you have to have a PC.
Yes.
So then you have to buy a capture card. That's a couple hundred bucks. So you have all of these costs and hurdles to get through just to see if you even enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And what Lightstream allows you to do through the Microsoft partnership is you can set it up so that your Xbox streams to Lightstream straight from the Xbox. So you don't need a capture device. You don't need any of these things. You just set up all of your alerts and your overlays in Lightstream, and then you don't even need your PC.
Jeez.
It is...
We're going to talk about this later, because
we are definitely talking about this later.
We're going to discuss that in a bit.
Yeah, it makes things super easy. It's just one of those things where once you've got a setup, because it's so difficult, that once you get a setup on one, you just dread having to start over on a new one. But then when you do, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
And this one seems like it sets everything up quickly. So
it's all saved in the cloud, too. So, I mean, Streamlabs does something similar, so that is a nice benefit. But,
So he says arsenal.gg?
Well, that's one for would the be golightstream.com.
Okay, golightstream.com?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Webinar are both like, are we going
to put it does. That in the Xbox integration does require you to have Mixer Pro, which is like a monthly subscription for that.
Oh, is that only for Mixer?
The Xbox One, yes.
Yeah, because that's their own thing.
Right. Right. But you can still use Lightstream for Twitch and stuff like that.
Congratulations, man. We could have a full series probably on your career and the stuff you've probably learned getting into this. So congratulations on a huge success and
thanks.
And being happy on That's what awesome. You're doing, man. It doesn't happen to a lot of people, but it can and it is possible. I see.
It was a ton of fun.
I knew this guy was going to be a success because he's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
There's those people where everybody knows them and they're everywhere. You are, and you just gotta like realize those are the movers and the shakers, and it's because they're hustling.
I'm not publicly popular. I'm privately popular.
Yeah.
I think the funniest one was we didn't lose touch, but like we hadn't talked in a while, and we were at TwitchCon last year, and we walk into this
Nighthawk party.
It's like that Spider-Man meme. Stop. We're both like pointing like, what are you doing here?
Well, I mean, we've done that a few times, right? Shadow event.
Shadow event. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You guys were like, what are you doing here? And I was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I know the owner. What are you doing here?
Oh, man. So we do have some video game news to get to, ladies and gentlemen. But first, we got to plug our sponsors. Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. And now beer. Also, vast.gg. Got a lot going on lately. They've been keep an eye on them because there's some stuff changing over there. Yeah. So
we got a new website. You go check it out, vast.gg. See all the giveaways that we got going on right now.
And then mainframe.gg. And then we have to talk about this real quick. We've been plugging it, but now it's actually real. Bang of Thrones, our VGB Game of Thrones fan podcast. It's a mini series. We're going to be putting these up every Monday night. After we watch the episode on Sunday, and we're just doing recaps. We're breaking it down, giving in some flavor, our opinions. As you know, Emma here has a lot of opinions.
I do. That's what I'm going to put on my business cards.
Emma Skies, I have a lot of opinions.
I think one of the interesting things, if you listen to it and you think, man, something seems a little different with VGB, we've never recorded all remotely before.
No.
So for this project, like, it's not like, nah, don't all drive out to the house. Like, we'll just do this on Discord. And so it's a bitch. I have so much respect for podcasters now who do that every time, because it took me 3 times as long to edit, to piece everything together. You know, there's always those little pauses, because you got to edit around those pauses.
Right.
There's that, when you don't have the energy, I can look at David and be like,
Yeah,
you know,
maybe you could use Lightstream Green Room.
Oh, tell us all about it.
Channel. I'll talk to you about it after.
Yeah, I mean, that'll help a little bit with the seeing each other aspect. But it was a lot of fun. And Emma, talk to me.
Oh, okay. I was trying to be like super sneaky and message in our group chat that we have because. You know, sometimes you want to say things on stream that you're not going to say on stream. But anyway, I'm not talking shit. I'm not talking shit for once. I did want to say while we're talking sponsors and while we're talking companies that we wanted to thank, I wanted to take a second to thank a couple of the companies that helped me on my charity stream this weekend.
Oh, shit.
I did want to take a second and say thank you to Wolfgang USA, which is a company that sells accessories for dogs and their people.
Hell yeah.
Who sponsored us with a couple giveaway items, and also PropForge, which is a 3D printing accessories company that you can find on Etsy.
Oh, what did they give you? The Cortana thing?
The Cortana thing, the Lara Croft necklace and two Star Wars ones, which so Taylor here won one of them. So I just wanted to say thank you to those guys. They were super cool. Wolfgang actually reached out to me because they saw that I was doing a stream for an animal organization, and they're just like, we don't really know who you are, but like here is some stuff.
That's awesome.
And what I thought was like the coolest thing was obviously you smashed your record, but not only that, you know, there was another SPCA stream that came shortly after because they were inspired by what you had done.
I was like, I'm not crying at this. I'm having a normal human reaction to this. But yeah, somebody from Sacramento saw my stream and saw what we did and was inspired to do her own. And so she did. She did one the other day.
That's so
shout
cool.
out to Lucky Penny. Lucky Penny with two Y's at the end. Yep. If you want to find her on Twitch.
It's so so good to see positive things happen, and then it spawns more positivity. That's your lesson for today. That's your VGB lesson. The more you know.
Always give money to animals.
Always give money.
Always give money.
They are currently
animals.
Live.
Perfect.
Yeah. So what's what do we got on the news, Emma?
So the first thing that we're going to talk about today is this new Xbox.
That yeah.
we've been talking about for a while. We've known it was coming for a while, but now we got some more details. So this is the all-digital Xbox One S, which is the name that they're going with.
So rolls right off the tongue.
Yep. It does.
What did we expect it to be called, though? They already have a slim version. Do they call it the slimmer version? Discless version?
I'm glad it's not discless version.
That's too close to dickless.
It's too close to dickless.
So, you know, somebody put that forward in a meeting and everybody looked at him and went, no.
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 It's gone.
Even when you don't say it, dickless, discless.
Discless. It's hard to say.
It's like rural juror. Yeah. Rural juror.
Nice 30 Rock reference. Yeah. Can you imagine the E3 presentation? And now the discless Xbox One S. Like, no, they're not. They're going to say dickless.
Although they are launching this pre E3. It'll be out already. So this is going to launch May 7th at $250, which I think is more than we were all expecting it to be.
Whoa, way more. Wait, how much is a normal?
So normally, technically, it is $300, but at every single retailer, you can generally find a bundle that's the Xbox One S plus a game plus the controller for $250.
Right.
So...
okay, so this is full retail. We're assuming this is not what you're going to pay.
Right.
Hopefully, I would say like $200.
Yeah, Best Buy or Walmart, right. GameStop, whatever is going to mark that down.
That was also a big part of their messaging, was that it was supposed to be $50 cheaper than... like, they seemed to say that more than they said $250. It was $50 cheaper than the One S.
So it's like a message to real retailers, like, whatever you're selling the Xbox One S for, mark
sell
this down
cheaper.
$50.
$199 is like the hot price.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's because it's pretty much the same thing. You know, it still has all the internals for that to be there. So we were talking earlier, like, it's basically just a new shell because, like, there's still space for a disk drive. Mm-hmm. There are empty SATA ports now. There's still an eject button, at least internally.
Okay.
At least internally, that you don't see it on the outside of the box. But, like, all the stuff is there. So really, they just took what they already had, took a couple components out of the assembly line, and... we're able to sell a new product. So, I mean, good for them.
Is that $50 worth it to people, though, to lose the complete ability to play a disc? So, like, the convenience of a friend coming over or borrowing somebody's game is just completely out the window at this point, and you're restricted to just digital. So it's not just, like, it's a huge convenience loss.
Yeah,
so,
I'll be curious to see how it sells.
Yeah,
I'll bet it's obviously better for Microsoft because digital sales have the highest of margins. Just... insanely high margins. But then also, it's probably way easier for a kid to get their parents to buy them one if it's $50 cheaper. $199 is like, that's...
yeah.
I see enough kids with Beats headphones that...
yeah. That well, we talked about on the Saturday show the loss of couch co-op. Oh, no, was it Wednesday?
That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked about like the loss of couch co-op. And this could be like, you already have an Xbox, but you want to have friends come over, you just get the cheap $199 version so you guys could play together, like we talked about. Some people do.
Cheap.
Now you're not spending $500, you're spending $450.
It's probably costs so much to produce disk drives these days, anyways. Like, they are pretty obsolete in PC gaming.
I don't even have one in my PC.
Same.
I don't
have one, and I have no... it's never hindered me, so I think with that line being blurred more between PC and console gaming, they're hoping that now console gamers can adapt to the to the real world.
So I'll be curious to see how it sells. I'll be curious to see where it sells, because I feel like you're not going to see any of these selling in like the Midwest.
Oh, no, where there's shit internet.
Where they have no fucking good internet. Or, like, anywhere that's, like, rural, you're not going to see a lot of sales of these. So, I mean, they're not using it to replace the Xbox One. They're still manufacturing the regular ones. They still have disk drives. What would be super weird, and I saw somebody saying, was, like, I wonder if they're going to sell a separate disk drive. And I'm like, then just buy the one that has
it. Yeah, the HD DVD player.
Oh, my God, don't talk to me
about
that. Don't talk to me about that. Don't talk to me about that, because HD DVD player.
I can 100% see that doing that, though.
Interesting. I
have PTSD.
They're bringing something along with it, though, to kind of bolster digital gaming, right? Didn't they announce another gold?
Oh, yeah. So they're bundling Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass into Game Pass Ultimate?
Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
So, and I want to say that's going to be $15 a month.
It's cheap.
Which is cheap.
Because Xbox Live is, what, cheap. 12 a month? Isn't it something like that?
I always bought it in years.
I always bought it in years, so I don't know.
I bought it in year increments.
Yeah. The last I remember, it was 12 a month. And then I think Game Pass is, what, 10 a month?
Yes, Game Pass is 10 a month.
So if you're going to have both, which I think a lot of do all of us have both?
Yes.
So you're going to save a lot of money getting the bundle. So, yeah, they're just really pushing all their digital stuff. They know that's kind of where a lot of it is heading. I am not ready to lose my disk drive yet, so I won't be getting one.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's been really, like, I've been really slow on the uptake for digital games. I, for a very long time, held on to, I don't want anything digital. I want my discs. Like, if I don't have a disc, what do I have? And now I'm just, like, kind of starting to get over that.
The only time I have digital copies is if I'm doing, like, the Games with Gold or the Game Pass. Is the only time I have digital copies. Otherwise, I tend to go out and buy the actual physical.
Yeah. Unless I get it for free or some crazy discount. Like, I'll buy the physical, because I never finish games.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes don't even start them. But I love to, like, loan them out to people. It's like somebody brings something up. It's like, you can borrow that.
The one I did intentionally was Sea of Thieves. I bought that digitally just for the simple fact of, if you buy it digitally, then it's crossplay. I could play it anywhere. I could play it on my Xbox. I could play it on my PC. So.
I think what we're seeing, it's still, I don't know, it's hard to say. I think it's just turning into, console gaming is just going to be considered budget gaming. Like, it's almost not even going to be gaming here.
Is it though? Because they're not. The price isn't any different.
I think
you
it's
pay $60
coexist.
for digital and $60 for physical.
For physical,
like, I know
it can be that AAA, but also be the budget gaming.
I see two paths colliding with PC gaming and console gaming, because we're all going to be moving to this, like, cloud based system anyways that they're trying to push with Stadia. Like, I think that's ultimately where gaming is heading, to, like, a streaming, more so type of thing that you could do on any device.
Definitely.
So
we just need ISPs to get on board.
Yeah, that in mind, all a console is going to be used for is just like a PC that could only play with a certain group of people. Like, because unless crossplay, you know, that's why they're opening up on crossplay,
right.
I think.
Yeah, Microsoft's fully on board with crossplay.
Yeah.
I mean, they even partnered with Nintendo on stuff, which is like, what?
Yeah.
We're all just fucking waiting on Sony now.
Yeah, they just need to get their shit together.
So this is, it's going in
flip
a weird spot.
Let's go flip the Switch.
So the discless Xbox One launches May 7th, and the Xbox Live Game Pass Ultimate will launch sometime later this year, is really all the info we have
December
on that.
December 31st, 2019.
Okay, that's cool. What else we got? We got some console news rolling.
We did. We're going from Xbox to PlayStation. We got a bunch of PlayStation 5 specs this week.
Was this leak, or did they actually let this go?
I have no idea.
It seemed official. It was so well covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I just started hearing about it, and I was like, okay, I guess this happened.
I did see some cool things based on the specs of the PS5. They used that, and they said, okay, so if this is what we're getting, then this is about how fast load times would be. And what they did is they did Spider-Man on the PS4 and simulated Spider-Man on the PS5, and they did fast travel. And on PS4, it's about 15-second fast travel. On the PS5, it was 0.85 seconds. So if you played Spider-Man on the PS4, you know that fast travel, you go into the subway, and like you're like interacting with somebody on.
They play little cutscenes.
Right. They play a little cutscene, right?
So you don't feel like you're waiting very long.
Exactly. Well, for the PS5, it like faded to black.
Load the animation.
Loaded the subway scene, faded to black, and then you were where you wanted to be. Like it was just instant, pretty much.
So I'll be curious to see how that goes. Because that's just based on estimates and guesses.
Exactly. It was just 100% just tested out.
So the first thing that we know is it's not going to release in 2019, which, to be fair, we already knew.
Yeah.
I guess last May, the CEO of Sony Interactive said that the PS5 won't come until at least 2021.
Okay. So we still got time.
So, yeah, you've got some time. Don't expect this anytime soon, but maybe... I was going to say E3, but they're not doing E3, so whatever event they're planning on having, because they did say that they're doing something.
Right.
It'll have 8 core based on... I didn't write these notes, so let me try and... We'll have 8 core based on AMD 3rd Gen Ryzen's Navi family.
Okay.
So,
new.
Fast processor.
Well, Navi is the GPU.
Yes.
Ryzen is the CPU.
Yes. Yeah. I totally knew that. This is what happens when I don't write my own notes. But the nice thing about that, we were talking about that earlier, the nice thing about the upgraded GPU and CPU is that it allows for ray tracing, which we talked about before on the show. I want to say it was during E3, because they showed, like, I remember specifically what we were talking about. We were talking about Battlefield and ray tracing, and we looked at the difference in the reflection of an explosion. Not even the explosion itself, but the reflection of the explosion that was on that car door.
Okay. Right.
And with the ray tracing.
You see what's behind you.
In just as clear.
In just as clear as what's in front of you, just kind of like what you would in real life.
Right. Yeah, so it's super fucking clear, basically, is what they're saying. It's like, this is going to look beautiful. It will support up to 8K. So,
up to 8K,
which
cool.
None of us are at, obviously, but finally, as the technology around it upgrades, it's not going to be obsolete. You're not feeling that?
Just like having been a game developer, there's no way that the hardware that they're talking about is capable of rendering a game at 8K.
Yeah, at 1 frame per second.
there's no FPS specs.
To give you an idea, that is 16 1080 screens, basically.
Yes,
so
that's some upscale right there.
But the thing that made me really happy is that it's going to be fully backwards compatible with PS4.
Yes.
Wait, fully...
You want to know why?
I'm actually kind of mad at that.
Why?
Why?
Because...
Do you want to lose your games library when you upgrade?
Because that's so archaic. Like, now all it is to me is the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's a PC.
It's a PC.
Yeah.
They're just... They might as well... Calling it a PS5 is like as if Xbox would have been like, instead of calling it the X, calling it the Xbox 2.
So did you think the PS3 was just the Xbox One X to the PlayStation 2?
No, because you couldn't play the same games.
Yeah, you could.
But the hardware is
only a few of them.
Wildly
different.
The PS3
was fully backwards compatible because I played all my PS1 games.
Yeah,
on
it wasn't until the PS4 that it wasn't fully backwards compatible at first, and then eventually they added. Yeah, it was people were like rioting in the streets, tipping cars, burning buildings down, and then they finally were like, okay. It stopped the madness. You can have backwards compatibility.
Because that was like a big thing when they announced that generation, because both Xbox and PlayStation abandoned backwards compatibility, and it pissed everybody off. But yeah, so, the PS3 was fully backwards
compatible. So that is kind of, that's...
Sort of. The very first PS3 was fully backwards compatible because it had the same chip from the PS2 on it.
And right, then eventually...
They ditched it and went to software, and then they ditched it completely.
Oh, okay. I only had...
See,
I think
thought
I
so.
One.
I knew there was some weird shit with that.
Yeah, that's the biggest struggle with backwards compatibility. It's not typically because the company doesn't want to. I mean, look at Nintendo. Almost every like old school Nintendo console could, in some fashion, play the previous generation, right?
Yeah.
So it's just an architecture problem. So you can't run Xbox 360 code on an Xbox One X.
Which is why they
natively roll
out so slowly.
You have to emulate the 3-core power PC that is in the 360 on the Xbox One, right? So because they're moving from... This is going to get real nerdy.
Do it. I love this
An
shit.
x86 architecture that they currently use, they can actually just continue running x86 architecture on the next one, which makes porting incredibly easy, or in this case,
one-to-one.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm saying. That's why it doesn't feel like a new console or a new generation, so to speak.
It's the best news for game developers because they don't have
to... You have to change everything you
do. Yeah, so the PS3, the reason it suffered so badly from cross-platform games, like PC and Xbox would get games, but the PS3 wouldn't get a certain game because the PS3 used what's called a cell processor, which was an absolute nightmare to work with. but the Xbox 360 and the PC were a little more similar, so it was easy to work on.
And they were so different. So like they were, yeah. So now that's kind of goes to what I was talking about before, how we're all colliding into one thing.
Yeah.
Basically producing a game, it's in these hardware companies' best interest to make it easy to develop for your platform, because the content is what's going to sell your platform ultimately.
Absolutely.
So you want to make it encouraging for people to work for mm-hmm. you. So now it's all getting closer and closer together to bridge those gaps. And so they all are practically the same thing that we're playing now.
Yeah.
Hopefully that means that people can shut up about liking PlayStation or Xbox better.
Yeah. That's going to be a thing of the past.
Well, all it's going to come down to is exclusives.
Yeah. Exclusives are just going to be a business decision and not an architectural one.
Right.
Yeah. You could be, that's what this whole, that's all cross platforming is. And you see PlayStation still holding out, because I think when things move to the next level of the streaming becoming king, and that all these consoles are hardware at this point, which are pretty close to right now, PlayStation is going to be the one who gets left in the dust. I don't think they're going to pioneer the streaming, the digital streaming.
But they bought Gaikai years ago.
Yeah.
That was Gaikai.
It's the Gaikai is the streaming platform that Sony put a ton of money into and never really did anything with.
Which is why I have no idea what it is. Yeah.
And that's why even the PlayStation, even PlayStation Online has been ass forever. It's always just been worse than Xbox.
Yeah.
And the only thing it had going for it for a long time was that it was free.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, it sucks, but at least I'm not paying for it. And now you are paying for it.
Yeah, now you pay for it. Yeah. So I think PlayStation is like, it's the hottest. Like, it's sold, I think, the most by a lot in this current generation. But it's got to evolve, because it's not going to be able to do that trick too many more times.
Well, you were talking about the streaming. The hardware requirements of that is tiny. Like, tiny. $100 Android tablet or $200 Android tablet is powerful enough to run a 1080p game through something like Shadow.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Stadia or whatever. So
So
we'll see how that goes.
Pretty interesting.
It's going to be an overpowered nothing. Like once we get to that phase, and they're hurting themselves by not doing the crossplay, because all the Fortnite kids who are already on PC are going to only want to play with their Fortnite friends who are on Xbox. You know, so if you got a PlayStation 4, you know, you can't play with us. You suck.
Yeah,
like, but PlayStation can play with PC, right? For Fortnite
in Fortnite,
mm-hmm. but only PlayStation
only
and PC,
and they
PC
only
can play with everybody else.
Yeah,
yes,
and they. Everybody else, the other two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But PlayStation is, they've only opened the cross-platform switch once or maybe twice, three times a lady. What, Fortnite, maybe Rocket League 2 at this point?
Yeah.
Oh, on accident?
Time it was on accident, and then I think they, and then after a few months, they were like, okay, we'll do
People
it.
People got mad. Real. They're like, clearly you can
clearly
do it.
Clearly it's a switch. Oh, yeah. We all know it's a switch now. Like, you pushed a button, you leaned on the console, and now it's crossplay.
That's what happened.
That's how it works. Exactly. Somebody
the HD switch.
Yeah, it's remakes. Right next to the HD switch.
So you want to remake a game? You just put it in. You flip the switch. It's all the devs.
And then hit eject, then boom, it's HD now.
So along with it being backwards compatible with the PS4 games, it's fully backwards compatible with PSVR,
which is good too.
A really good thing, because a lot of people have held off on getting a PSVR because they know something new is coming.
Right.
They're like, why am I going to get this when something new is going to come out and I'm not going to be able to use it anymore? So them saying that it's going to be backwards compatible with the PSVR, some people are saying that could potentially bump sales of the VR.
Yeah.
I think they just have so many of them laying around.
Right.
They're like, we can't afford
that. They can't sell a new one until the other one's off the shelf.
So I'm actually glad to hear that. It's nice to know that everything that, you know, you sink your money into isn't going to be completely gone. Like,
backwards compatibility.
My entertainment center is full. I cannot put anything else on it. If there's a new console that needs to go there, something else has to go. And if I have to lose something, I'm going to lose those games. Like, I have too much. Is not going to work.
I think this is like marketing 101 at play here, because the way that it really is mechanically, they're just making an upgraded PS4.
Yep.
And they're just calling it PlayStation 5 with backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
It's no different from the Xbox One X.
But would you prefer the Apple method where everything is a MacBook Pro? Whether it's an old one with a disk drive or a new one.
This doesn't have a disk drive. I took that out and put a solid state in.
Smart. I was going to say mine here because I have the right one thing to do. That's so old they don't make it anymore. And like they don't make the size. I have a 17-inch that they don't make
anymore. Those are great.
It has a disk drive. It has an Ethernet port. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I have all these those ports.
Good job.
FireWire.
Good job, Sony marketing team.
Yeah, that's proof of an old
MacBook. But yeah, and speaking of SSDs, it's going to have a much more powerful SSD.
Which is cool.
Which is good because that's just going to mean that the higher quality doesn't mean that you're going to have a lower
right.
Time. I'd be interested to see what they do with that. Like if they use a disk drive, like a regular disk drive, and then also an NVMe SSD, which would be super fast, mm-hmm. and then intelligently switch the games you play most often to that super fast drive.
Yeah.
Like that seems like the play.
Yeah.
We'll see if they do it.
So, and keep in mind, this is all super, super, super early speculation. All of this or none of this could change drastically in the next couple years because we're not going to see a PS5 for quite some time.
Hopefully the processor and GPU changes in the next couple of years.
Nope, they're sticking with what's current right now. No upgrades. They've already said they're going to do this.
Because that the processor that it's based on is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Like, so by the time imminently.
The time it comes out, it'll be obsolete.
Yeah.
So we covered a story in Xbox. We did one in PlayStation. I want to sneak one past the goalie about Nintendo.
That's our next one.
Okay, go ahead.
You can go with yours. I was just going to say, there is Nintendo on here.
I don't see a Nintendo one on here.
Scroll down. He's scrolling, everybody.
I'm scrolling. Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Wow.
Nintendo Reggie.
This is not what's on the notes.
This is something else. Reggie, he finally joined the world of Twitter, like the day, his last day at Nintendo.
Explain to me who this is.
Former president of Nintendo of America.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. You don't know Nintendo Reggie?
Reggie.
He's the man.
Do you know Nintendo Reggie?
Reggie is the man. He's like an icon of Nintendo America forever. He's like super memeable.
You'll recognize his face.
Was he the one that like some pictures just went viral of him getting like a giant me head?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I saw that picture.
Yeah, that's him. And
that's the extent of my knowledge of him.
He just created this Twitter like out of nowhere and it's already fucking blown up and he has just the most heartwarming, lovable Reggie content that you were afraid you were going to lose when he leaves Nintendo.
Yep.
So this is like you thought this was going to be a big loss, but now Reggie's in the content game. So if you want to follow his story, like I really recommend following him on Twitter. I think he just got Reggie or something like that. So,
dude, that would be, I mean, with all those millions.
I was
going to
say,
he
paid somebody for that. So the Nintendo story had been on here is the Smash Brothers Ultimate Joker update.
I will
hand that off to you if you want to read the notes because I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
So I didn't read this in any of the websites and this isn't an official story, but I can't download my Joker, so I'm pissed off. I don't know. It keeps saying that the servers are crashed. So I think what's going on is that it must be bogging it down because there's been a lot of hype around this character. I never played Persona 5. Any of you guys?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Yeah, watched it on Twitch.
Yeah, I don't play that weeb stuff.
I saw the description of it on like the back of a game box that somebody posted on Twitter, and it sounded like it was just like, go to school, make friends, do your homework. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Is that just Sims?
I didn't like this in real life.
I was going to say, do you play The Sims?
I do.
Okay.
Well,
but I can like kill people in The Sims.
It came out today, which the day you're listening to this, probably yesterday. He's $5, $6 if you don't have a fight pass. But if you're like any real Smash player, real Smasher, you paid $25. You just gotta get your little update. But
wow, mine, just gonna discriminate against people who can't afford that. That's fine. You know,
if you can't
discriminate against poor people,
yeah,
well, whatever.
You know, that's your fault. The Joker stage, though.
Holy hell!
Don't be poor, okay?
Yeah, don't be poor.
Get your head out of your ass.
Get a job.
God,
I used to have a family member that was like that. Every homeless person we saw, I had to get like a lecture on. That's why people were. I was like, you don't know what they've been through, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, the person is actually now homeless. So.
What I hate is what's being buried. They're burying the lead here because there are also new Sonic Me outfits. All right.
I scrolled through those
Knuckles.
So fast. I don't get. I think
nobody's talking about Knuckles.
Nobody talks about Knuckles because they've screwed that character so much. Like, did you guys see Sonic Adventures?
I don't recognize anything that's not the original Sonic games.
Knuckles was like...
if I can't stack them into each other, they're not real. Yeah.
Knuckles to Sonic, like, they were like equals, you know, but he was red and he had like the dreadlocks and he could climb shit. And then he was like supposed to be like sleek and cool. And then in this new series, they made him like the big oaf. And I did not like that. Yeah.
Hashtag not my Knuckles.
Tragic. Not my Knuckles. But the stage actually does look pretty sick. Changes colors. They brought in all the music from Persona 2. So if that's your bag.
Persona 5?
Whatever.
Five. I think five.
What'd I say?
I was like, oh, they're going throwback.
I know. That's we're going retro?
Somebody's going to like
it. I'm old. That was age. But yeah, that's about it for that one. We'll have Curtis back to tell us all
he'll
about
know.
It. Yeah,
He'll know. We can't carry the Nintendo conversation.
So what else we got?
So we've talked a couple times on the show about KOTOR and just the genuine love for it that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So excited.
Everybody has kind of known that I think that there was supposed to be a 3 and then it just never happened. So the lead writer for KOTOR 2 actually did an interview and talked about the plans that they'd had. Like, there was a pitch, there was a story idea, and he was just talking about what it was supposed to be and then it never was. So, I guess he said the Devi team, that's what I affectionately call them.
We're only calling it the Devi team from now.
She tours the studio one time, and now it's the Devi team.
That's right, this is Obsidian.
Yeah, you were just there
a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago touring, because they got a pretty hype game coming out called Outer Planets? Outer Space?
Why are you like this? It's called The Outer Worlds and Corey's not allowed to talk about it.
Because the developer
Why did you remind him the name of it?
The dev actually told me not to hype it.
He did.
So I can't hype this game.
The Devi anymore. Told you.
The Devi. Well, she can only call them that. I've never been to the studio.
But great friends. We're me and all of the Devis. That's totally. We're gonna move on anyway from my horrible speech blunder. So the dev team had kind of always envisioned it as a trilogy. So we talked about in 2, like, they set up the story to have, you know, references to what was coming and foreshadowing to what was coming in the future, because they, as far as they knew, like, they were gonna have a third one.
Yeah.
So he says, he did an interview with VG 247. He said, even when working on the second game, we tried to foreshadow what Darth Revan, what he was doing in the second game. He wasn't always just ruthlessly and mindlessly blowing everything up. He actually had a larger plan because there was going to be a greater manipulation and threat going on, which they never got to explore.
I believe them, though, because their twist in the first one and then the improvements they made to 2, I just think whoever was writing those stories, and if it was that same crew working, whatever they say they were going to do was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be. They were so good.
So he actually went into, like, you know, a little bit of detail on what it was. So he says, this is Chris Avalon, who was the lead writer and designer, says the third game involved you as a player character following where Revan went and then taking the battle to the really ancient Sith lords who are far more terrifying than the Darths that showed up. So he's talking about, like, these guys, like, you've faced, you know, kind of Darths in the past, but these guys are, like, ancient, they're super powerful, they're just monsters.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to be big. He's like, you get to dig more into their psychologies, their personalities, their histories, and, like, they're not just ruling, you know, solar systems, they're ruling entire galaxies. Like, these guys were legit. And that was the plan. That was where the game, that was where the franchise was supposed to go to.
Yeah.
I think that's what drew me into the Old Republic games, is because I was a Star Wars fan and everything. But then, you know, you're limited in the movies and the source materials and even the books. And this goes, like, to medieval times, quote unquote. Like, if you can imagine how that is for us.
Yeah.
This was, like, medieval times for them. Things are kind of archaic. They speak differently, even. It's, like, a whole just different time. And, so this is a time where they're at their full power. So Jedis are just all fucking badass. And they give off the air that the weakest Jedi in this would murder Darth Vader super easy.
Okay.
So this is like taking that and then going back to caveman times.
Yeah.
And saying that, no, then they were really badass.
So back in my day, they were real men.
Yeah, it's
like a couple thousand years in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the MMO was amazing.
So, it was actually once they started coming out with the story packages.
What? No, man. Like, there were 8 completely different, incredibly long, like, 40 or 50-hour campaigns in the launch version of the game.
Really?
It's, yeah.
I got stuck just, like, grinding the things everybody else does.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there was a bunch of grind and stuff like that. But it was like it was a ton of fun. The story was incredible, and just the amount of lore in it was insane. So I'm super pumped. And today, there's this rumor that came out that Lucasfilm is looking to do an Old Republic movie.
I heard about that too.
Well, because they don't think this game's ever gonna happen.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, KOTOR 3 is just not going to happen.
Who's EA going to... Because EA has the exclusive license, so who's EA going to...
That was... It's funny, because when I was at their studios, I asked that. I was like, is there any chance, like, for another KOTOR? And he was like, we'd all love to do it, but EA owns the rights to this. We really can't do anything unless they want to, which is a problem with a lot of franchises that EA owns, as well as the Alice franchise.
I think you had to go there.
I did.
Now I'm sad.
I did. Are you on that Patreon though? Like they're designing shit.
No, but
I hope it goes through.
It won't.
I want it to. I spent money on it.
It's on Patreon.
I would want. I had heard that rumor too, and I don't know if this is just fantasy, like people out there just like you know coming up with the best case scenarios. But they were saying that they were going to get the showrunners from Game of Thrones to do it.
to do the Old Republic movie.
That would make sense because it's brutal.
Yeah.
Like, it's brutal.
I don't
brutal.
Know about that, though.
I'd be into it.
But then you wouldn't... I think at that point, too, you wouldn't even completely have lightsabers. It'd be a lot of vibroswords. Didn't vibroswords come before lightsabers?
I don't know.
That sounds made up.
No, I promise you. It's a vibrosword. It's a real thing. You get them in KOTOR. In the first KOTOR, you can get them.
Yeah, but there are also lightsabers around, too. I don't know if they were, like, before lightsabers.
If I remember right, because I just played KOTOR recently for, like, the first time, and I remember looking at Vibrosword because I heard it in a Star Wars podcast I listened to, and so it was, like, the history, and it's, yeah, aren't we all? And it was, like...
Vibrosword?
It came before, it was, like, the precursor to a lightsaber. It was a Vibrosword.
I think... You're looking into it too much. I think Vibrosword was created just for this game, and they needed to give a melee weapon to people who couldn't use the Force.
Wow.
So they're like, we can't let this pilot walk around with a lightsaber. He gets a Vibrosword.
I'm betting
you're right. So we can use the same animations.
There is that. So throughout this interview, he kind of goes on to talk about what happened with it, and he says he doesn't know anything, but he says he thinks the game was canceled due to internal politics. Like, that's really what it came down to in the end.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and that's kind of always what it came down to. And he's not kind to Obsidian. He didn't leave on good terms, it sounds like. He left back in 2015, and he says he would never work with the senior management at Obsidian ever again. He kind of cites bad communication between management and devs and artists and just everybody, really, and nepotism. In the company.
Shows you how systemic the BioWare issues
exactly. are. Exactly. So as soon as I read that, I was like, yeah, that kind of just sounds like the games industry at this point.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've gotten to a point where, like, finding a good one is the needle in the haystack. Like, all of them have problems.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And then there's always two sides to any conflict.
Right.
Too.
Like, I'd be curious to see what, you know, people say about him and how he handled things. But yeah, he is not kind to Obsidian. So hopefully those have all been resolved, because we're all looking forward to the Outer Worlds.
Yeah. The Obsidian, I think I've told you guys in private that it's the one company that hasn't really just broken my heart yet. Like, the developer, I've really liked every game they've done on a really deep level. Mm-hmm. And so when they say they're going to make something and I see that, I trust it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And other companies like Bungie completely lost my trust. Now when Bungie put their name on something, it's like, I'm getting that shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm like, fuck Bungie.
I mean, I still feel that way about Bungie, but I'm okay with them hurting me over and over.
This is a bad relationship.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
There's not like a ton of... I don't know that there's like a dev company that I've liked every single thing they ever put out. Or maybe there is, and I just don't pay attention as much as I should to the developers.
Because there's no scandals, so you don't really think or hear about them.
Yeah.
Right, like, you hear the bad shit, but right. The ones that are good, you're just like, they exist. Right. I couldn't name them.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rockstar?
I think Red Dead is skirting that little line. Like, I think I'm going to think twice next time they come out with the game, but I'm still going to buy it day one.
Don't play Rockstar stuff, but I played a little bit of Red Dead 2, and I hated it.
Really?
I was super fucking bored. It was so boring.
I think the last time I was here, you were so pumped for it.
No, because I didn't play Red Dead Redemption 1, so I wouldn't have been like super excited for it. They both were.
Maybe that's what it was.
But, yeah, no, I didn't play any of them. So everybody was on Red Dead 2, and I was like, all right, I'll try it out. And I was really mad about the 17-hour tutorial.
Oh, Lord.
That thing
I haven't started the game at all.
Oh, yeah. It took me 3 days to get through the tutorial phase of the game because it's super boring, and it's legitimately, like, 4 hours long. God. It sucks. It's really, really boring.
Some, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 or whatever. Like, 40-minute intro video.
It was rough. Because it's, I mean, it's part of the game. You know, they stylize it as though you're just playing the actual game, but it's very much a tutorial sort of mission that takes place. It's like the first chapter that's just godforsakenly long.
Hey, Emma.
Yes.
Did you hear who's going to be in that new Suicide Squad movie?
If you look at the notes, you'll know that I did hear that.
John Cena!
John Cena.
He's going to be in the Suicide Squad.
He's in talks.
No, he's going to be Suicide Squad himself. He's going to put this movie on his damn back.
Which makes me very cautious. And that was when somebody said, you know, maybe Marvel never really fired James Gunn and they sent him over there to sabotage.
Wait, John Cena's a great actor.
Is he?
He's been in the Marine.
Was he in all five of the Marines?
He was in the Marine 2. I don't know how many Marine movies
there
he's done.
There are five.
He was in that movie with Will Ferrell? Was that one?
I hate both of them.
He is an actor.
He's a great actor. Okay, I bet you he's
a
better actor.
He's not.
This is what, he's following the formula from Guardians of the Galaxy. You got to throw in a random professional wrestler.
Like Dave Bautista.
Yep. Bautista bombing folks. They brought him in as Drax and everybody loved him. And, like, let's be honest.
Look at The Rock.
The Rock? Well, yeah, he's the Hulk Hogan. Look at Hulk Hogan.
That's not helping.
Oh, don't look at Hulk Hogan.
Slipping
no, I stopped.
Down.
Not helping. No, I forgot.
The Rock is
you
the pinnacle
me at the Rock.
Of
that's my man. I love him.
But, you know, it's kind of scary. He goes over to Suicide Squad, which is DC's Guardians of the Galaxy. And they end up adding a professional wrestler to the squad.
Is it DC's Guardians of the
Galaxy? Yeah, it is.
I mean, when you break it down to the base, you have a bunch of misfits, criminals that come together to form a team to do semi-good.
To be fair, they're all doing it so they don't get murdered.
That's true. I mean...
Yeah, but look at the way they marketed that movie. Like, they pivoted hard. Remember the first trailer came out, and then they were like, we're in trouble. And then they started going with, like, trying to find retro music and kind of pinning the movie on the backbone of that.
Yeah.
Like, they took a lot of pages out of the Guardians of the Galaxy
book. Took a lot of pages. Chapters.
Chapters even.
So, yes, I did see John Cena's in talks to join Suicide Squad 2. I don't know who he would play.
Would he be the Rock guy or the Crocodile?
Oh, Killer Croc?
Yeah.
Was Killer Croc ever in the Suicide Squad? Mm-hmm. He was in Task Force X, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
What I do like is
Killer Croc was in the first movie.
Yeah, he was in the movie.
Oh, was he? Oh, he was. See,
that's how forgettable that
movie
is.
I don't remember anything in that movie that wasn't Margot Robbie.
Or Will Smith.
Or Viola Davis, who I'm really glad they have confirmed that she's coming back.
Good.
Which is good for her to agree to that. Like, she easily could have been like, no, fuck this. That was terrible. Why would I come back for this? But Viola, I thank you and I love you.
She's a big fan of the show.
She wants to work with John Cena, is what I heard.
Yikes.
That was the thing that kept her on board.
Yikes. Speaking of potentially terrible movies.
Speaking of John Cena.
Hellboy.
Ooh.
You said potentially.
What did this movie...
I haven't seen it, but what happened?
What did this movie do to people? Like, people are mad about it.
They walk out of the theater, like, viscerally pissed. Visually. What am I thinking of?
Viscerally?
Viscerally. Okay. That's the one.
So when it came out, it was sitting at a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oof.
It's now sitting at a 15%.
Hey, it's
making
that, comeback.
It's got 31% on Metacritic. I don't know. Like, this, I might go see it just to see what's going on. Like, I might go on like a discount Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see what's going on because people hate this movie.
What are they saying about it?
I actually didn't look because I don't want to know.
I think it's a lot.
No, you can go.
They're saying like the plot doesn't really make any sense.
Weird because the guy that created Hellboy helped write the script. And
yeah,
was, like, on set.
It's all around the story basically. I don't think I haven't seen anything about the actors, but it's all been mainly about the story. It just didn't make sense. I fell short of what they were expecting, I guess. I don't know. It's crazy.
To be fair, though, Mila Jovovich, who plays the Blood Queen, actually came out and spoke about the bad reviews, and she very astutely pointed out that all of her, what she says, raddest, all of her raddest movies have been trashed in reviews.
By critics.
By critics, and come out to be cult classics in the end. Fifth Element got trashed.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Dazed and Confused, horrible. Resident Evil, she says, let's not even go into it.
I love
they've all kind of come out and become cult classics, and she's fairly certain this one will too.
Going through Rotten Tomatoes just briefly, I love looking at the audience reviews compared to the reviews of the
critics.
What's
the audience score?
63.
Yeah, it's 63, which is, it's better.
Okay.
When I looked, I thought it was down in the 30s, like a little while ago. But so it's also climbing. But here's a fan. Watching Hellboy is my new personal idea of hell. And then you go to critic. In the end, the movie leaves us stuck with unmoving drama and increasingly numbing carnage developed with a hand as heavy as Hellboy's monstrously oversized right meat hook.
Okay.
You can tell one gets paid to do it.
I love how smug your voice got.
Oh my god, yeah.
Let's talk about some comic books.
I like that idea.
Yes, we have comic books this week. Curtis is not here. Curtis usually is the host of Curtis's Comic Book Corner, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. And beer.
Curtis's Comic Corner. It's Curtis's the whole alliteration thing. Really broke it there with
what
the,
is it?
The
Curtis's,
when you add book.
Curtis's Comic Corner.
Curtis's Comic Corner.
God, he's not here for one day.
Yeah, no, he's
just
not.
Gonna ruin everything.
So,
and he entrusted his responsibilities.
He entrusted his responsibilities to me, which may have been mistrusted because there's no way I can get as in depth as Curtis does. But we do have some comics to present to you from Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Thank you guys so much for presenting these to us. So we have East of West, issue 42. East of West, Dystopian Future.
A Dystopian?
What is it? Why do I keep messing these words?
Is it a fucking
Dystopian?
Is it a fucking dystopian vacuum, bro?
Yeah, it's a Dyso. Yeah.
Dysklistopian.
Good lord. Dystopian
Dystopian. Man, Curtis is so much better at this.
God, fuck you guys. All right. It takes place in the future where it's actually if the Civil War never actually ended. So all these factions are around. All that to say, it is coming to a close. We have issue 42, and I believe it ends with issue 44. So go ahead and pick that up from Oblivion. We also got War of the Realms, which is a big Marvel crossover that's going on right now. All of the one-shots and side issues tie into this big battle where all the Marvel heroes are coming together to fight Malekith, which I just saw in Thor Dark World. It's close enough, Emma. It's close enough.
No, you said it right. I'm just, is it a Malekith or is Malekith one person?
Malekith is his name.
I know.
Yeah, so they fight Malekith.
You said they're coming to fight a Malekith.
Did I? I didn't mean to say a. I'm just
here to
fight
with you.
Malekith. Yeah, I know.
This universe.
So Oblivion is going to be really excited about this week's comic book corner. But so go to Oblivion and pick up those issues while they still have them in stock.
All right. Well
and
done.
I'm never doing this again. Fuck yeah. You.
Hey. And East of West is one of Curtis's favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can tell you more about it in chat.
He's probably, he'll right the wrongs when he comes back. Yeah, like we said,
Curtis is great.
Curtis is not feeling too good, man. So send him some positive energy. Give him those positive vibes so he gets back. David Webb, you streaming again yet, man? I've been waiting.
Once in a while. I streamed with Rachel with Girls Without Game last week.
Hey.
And I may do it this week.
Good.
I don't know.
What are you guys playing?
Borderlands.
There you go.
Yep. One. Running through one for the first time.
All right, Emma Skies, I'm sure you have a schedule ready to go. What do you got?
I will be on tomorrow at 1 p.m. Should be Thursday at 1 p.m. potentially, probably, and probably Friday as well.
And you have some interesting streams coming up
oh my God.
With help here from Taylor.
So much.
What
do.
Is that going to be exactly?
So I had a lot of stretch goals and donation incentives for my charity stream on Saturday, which went phenomenally, by the way. We raised over $3,000. Which was crazy.
That's crazy
and
nuts.
Big thank you to Taylor.
Good job, kids.
So some of my stretch goals were I now have to play Sekiro, which chat was begging me to do, and I refused. Mm-hmm. I now have to do a Cuphead run on Expert, which I don't want to do.
Ouch.
And then when we, like, demolished those goals, like, super early, I was like, fuck, what else could I do? And Taylor pops into chat, like, you can play Alien Isolation in VR.
Hey.
I was like, I don't have that. He's like, I have it. So now I gotta do that.
So you're gonna be in VR playing Alien Isolation, where you're being essentially hunted.
Yes.
And the sounds you make.
The Nostromo.
Yes.
Missions.
Oh my god.
So if you make a noise, will it still pick up? And so chat is going to be donating things, and then the monster could actually hear it.
And that's going to be extra screwed up because mm-hmm. you won't be able to see your screen.
Sometimes I accidentally get a little bit of a buffer sometimes because there's like a split second where the alert pops up before the sound does. So sometimes I'm like, okay, I saw it. I will have that.
So you're saying that because it's kind of a hindrance to you when you're playing, right?
It is very much a hindrance to me when I'm playing. Because if I, oh my god, we won't spend too much time on this.
So like, what you're saying is if Emma is not your favorite cast member, and you know you get a little fed up with her opinions, you
can come give me a fucking heart attack.
You can go to her stream and make her life a living hell.
They have to pay for it, so
there is that. Yeah, I mean,
Emma wins in the end.
Yeah, the bank doesn't care whether the person was a hater. Or
yeah. Right.
Taylor, what you got going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just a ton of work and traveling for roller derby. And so gaming-wise, I'm pretty light right now. Back on the Magic the Gathering Arena kick.
Cool.
Got a new set coming out, so that'll be fun.
And where can people check out all the streaming and cool stuff that you do? Arsenal GG?
So I work on Arsenal.gg. It's a analytics, broadcaster analytics platform. And, just Twitter.
All right. And,
my name, Taylor Balbi. B-A-L-B-I.
Yep. He's a good guy. Thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, one last thing. The Patreon. We keep talking about it, but if you love Game of Thrones and you love us and you want to hear us talk about Game of Thrones, it gets pretty weird. We talk about all the stuff. And some of it can get very theoretical. So it's not just like the maybe typical reviews where we're just saying what had happened. We're giving little bits of flavor, some fan theories and things like that. And you can do that on our patreon.com/videogamebang. A single dollar will get you access to all the BTS content that we've done. We're uploading another extra episode called The Nexistential Crisis. Because if you guys listened to the last episode that Nexi was on, things got really weird in the after show. Like,
what are you
talking
about? How weird?
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, Nexus. Like, a lot. So, if you want to talk about time travel, theory, whether we really exist, all that weird shit, you can go there.
Okay.
But for Emma Skies, David Webb, Taylor Bowie, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.